There are a few questions with regard to Lavan Arami in the parsha. So Lavan Arami, really, the pasuk says that he fooled Yaakov many times, but tachleifes maskurti aseres monim, that he switched his wages. Aseres monim literally means 10 times, but Rashi says no, it means 100 times. Because he says monim means 10, and aseres is 10 times 10, 100 times. So you see, as I mentioned before, Yaakov really didn't come into the situation with his eyes closed, because he knew that Lavan was a very cunning fellow. But as a matter of fact, when he first made up with him that he's going to work for his daughter, for Rachel, so he made it very explicit. He said, I worked for you for 7 years, Baruchel Bitchak Tana. Right? So Rashi explains, what does it mean, Baruchel Bitchak Tana? He says, call us Simona Malolo Lama, why do you have to mention Rachel Bitchak Tana? He says, Lefisha Yadea Bosher Rama. He knew he was a faker. Amalo, he says, Avotcha Baruchel, I work for you for Rachel. Hashem Atoma Rachel Acharis Menashuk. Maybe there's another Rachel, not this one. Tamalama Bitcha. No, your daughter. Hashem Atoma Achlif Lelea Shema V'ekra Shema Rachel. I'll change the names. Talmud Loma Aktana, the younger one. The Yafal Pekin Lo Hoel, and even with all this, it didn't work. Shemiru Mo, he fooled him.
But really, it was an outside detail because Leah.
Yeah, right.
So he did win. Really. In terms of outsmarting love, and he did. It's just that Rachel had.
Yeah, right. So of course, a lot of questions. So since the contract was worked out in such detail, how did he really manage to get out of it? See, I didn't imagine. What did he give him? Gave him like a crazy answer. That le'yasachem u'kamenu. Let's say it's tirul b'nei abchira. All right. We have to understand like this. So one would think also the whole thing seems not rational. Why? Because I'll tell you why. If the man is such an outright liar that you could never really pin him down, and no matter what you say, he's going to make up some kind of a story. So what did he do? What did he stay there for? What did he stay there for? He should have left. Okay? He should have left. Yeah. Rachel Bifakon. Why did he stay there? You're constantly getting fooled again and again. There's no deal with this man. Should leave. After the 7 years. Another 7 years. See, Rachel, the incident with Rachel showed the man is going, why did he work another 7 years? With even pay? After 7 years, going to fool him again? I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
Well, he only has 2 dollars.
He says, yeah. We'll take a rough one on a shirk. We'll take somebody on a shirk. We'll take somebody on a shirk. The man is completely unreliable.
What?
Yeah. I understand.
Then get out of here after that.
All right. How does he know even that Shavuot Zos? I mean, but the point is, and then he stayed beyond that point. Even after that, he stayed another 6 years. I mean, the whole thing is funny. I mean, he should have left and that was it. Yeah. So the parsha apparently. Yeah, the parsha, it's really interesting. They have so much time spent on Lavan Arami, the story of Lavan Arami. So the Torah isn't interested in just teaching you. The Torah believes that in order to know good, you have to know evil also. So certain characters, the Torah spends time in portraying their nature. He's a Russia, but you have to understand the Russia. Because in order to understand good, you have to understand the evil. But Lavan Arami was certainly a very good businessman. Because basically what it did was, you see, a good businessman means a person who buys something very cheap and he sells it at a very expensive price, right? But at least he's selling a saleable commodity. See, Lavan Arami sold the same object twice and it wasn't even a saleable commodity. It was his daughter. So you don't sell a daughter. But he knew that Yaakov wanted her, so he got twice the mileage out of it. 14 years. And it's not even a saleable commodity. That's a good deal. That's a man that knows how to how to work out a good deal for himself. Excuse me? A daughter? People sell daughters? He's selling his daughter? It's not a saleable commodity. As a matter of fact, the pasuk says later, how do you know that they, maybe you'll tell me that was the minhag to sell their children.
No,
they said later, the pasuk says in Lamed Aleph Tezvav, how long did, when Yaakov told Rachel and Leah that they're going to leave, they have to leave, so they agreed. They said, what was the thing they mentioned? They said, halo nachrios nechshavnu lo ki mecharano. He considers us as strangers because he sold us. You see? So it wasn't something that was done, that you sold daughter. They said, oh, that's what they mentioned it.
Rashi.
He sold Rashi. What did Rashi say? Yeah. I feel b'shash that when Allah says nedunya lev nosav b'shas yisum and noigemona kenochios kimochoranova. Usually it's the derech of people to give when the daughters get married, so the father gives them money. Over here he sold the daughter. Exactly the opposite. Okay. Yeah. Now it's an interesting thing that a person. So you think the man is an outright faker and that's it. But it's an interesting thing about love and arami. When you look in the Torah about love and arami, the Torah doesn't describe him. If you just take the literal shatim in the pasuk, doesn't describe him as such a terrible person. On the contrary, he seems like a very warm-hearted, friendly person, somebody that you'd like to meet every day. It says, like for instance, when he ran away to love him for a month, right? So it says. It says, "Vayehi kishmoa Lavan es shema Yaakov ben Achoso." When Lavan heard the name of Yaakov, the son of his sister, "Vayoritz lekrasa," ran to him, "Vayachabek lo," he embraced him, "Vayinashik lo," he kissed him, "Vayevieo beso," brought him into his house, "Vayesapel Lavan," he's called Varmele, told him the whole story, and then it says, "Vayoma Lavan achatzmi uvesoriata," in my flesh and blood. He sat there for a month's vacation. A nice fellow. Okay? Then it says the next passage. So Lavan said to Yaakov, Achi ata, are you my brother? Vavaratani chinam? You're going to work for me for nothing? Agidali malas ketecha. Tell me what your wages are. What do you want? I'll give you a fair wage and that's it. The pasuk says, so you see, it doesn't seem to be. Then, of course, Chazal always, criticize him. Like, for instance, before with the incident with Besuel, when Eliezer came. When Eliezer came, so it says like this, that... Pasuk Chof Dalet, it says that Rivka Achu Shmo Lavan. Eliezer came for Rivka, so she had a brother's name was Lavan. Vayoritz Lavan Eloish Achutz Elohim. He ran out to him. Vayi Kirosis Anezim Vesatzmina Achoso. He saw the bracelets and the gold, and he heard the words of Rivka Kodi Bar Eli Haish. Vayovo Eloish Vine Omer Alakamalam Elohim. Vayoma Bo Bruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, from prison. Lama Sama Bachutz, what are you standing outside for? Vanochi Penisha Bais and Makam Lagmalim. Vayevish Rabbi Safata Ragmalim, Vayitam for Lagmalim, Makam Raglav, Raglav Rasharito, Yisrael Elecho. Okay? So you see that he was a very warm, hospitable individual. Very friendly person. Okay? Now, where there's a chazal that says. That over here again, Chazal came in. So like this. As a matter of fact, it says Vanochi Pinisi Abayas means he got rid of the Avodah Zarah fan. Now what could be? Maybe he knew his beliefs and respected his beliefs. And he cleaned out the house of Avodah Zarah, so Eliezer could stay there. I mean, how more hospitable could you be? Yeah. Now it's an interesting thing when Chazal say. That it says like this, Vayoritz on Yud Gimel, the second time, by Yaakov. It says in the one we mentioned for Chof Tes, it says Rishma Lovan Hashem Yaakov Achoso Vayarotz across a rentim Vayachabek Lo. This Chof Tes you give up. Vayachabek Lo, he embraced him and he kissed him and he brought his ass. So Rashi says Vayarotz across a rentim Kisavar Momon Utolim. He thought he's carrying a lot of money. You see why? Sherei Eved Abayis Bolakan Basar Gamalim Tunim. Because the servant of this house came here with 10 camels that were loaded with money. Vayachabek. When he didn't see he has any money, maybe he brought gold, maybe in his pockets. So he embraced him. He was
pickpocketing.
See, feeling around for them, where's the money? It says he kissed him. So Rashi says, maybe there are diamonds that are hidden in his mouth. So it sounds like, I mean, at first sight, it sounds like Chazal are just trying to degrade the man. I mean, the psukim don't seem to say this, and they're just trying to project some type of rishus onto the person. But it seems like it seems sort of unfair, you know, when you read this Rashi. Like, yeah, man, embracing him, he's picking his pockets, and he went to kiss me, thought maybe he has diamonds in his mouth. I mean, it sounds funny. So, yeah, that's one thing we have to understand. Then also you have like this. What happened later? All right, that's one thing. Then what happened later is like this. Why did the way he ran away? That's also very funny. Oh yeah, by the way, it's another pasuk that's difficult to understand. Malei Shvuazos. It's a difficult pasuk. Ramban talks about it. After he gave him that's in Vayetze, it's in where? Chof Tes Chof Zayin. So it says, he says, Lo Yosa came to the Kameno, Lo Seisa Tzirul Fnei Abkhiru, we can't do this. Male Shvuzos. Male Shvuzos. What does it mean, Male Shvuzos? So Chazal learned from this, Male Shvuzos, he meant this week because of Eimarim Simcha B'Simcha, because of Sheva Brachas. Ramban says it's not the plain shot in the puzzle. It's not the plain shot in the puzzle. Male Shvuzos is a problem. What exactly does it mean, Male Shvuzos? Finish off these 7 days. Yeah.
Why is it a
problem? What does he mean? I mean, the why is he waiting 7 days? What's the what is the purpose of the statement? I mean,
in terms of the statement,
just plain meaning of the statement. Okay. Then also we have to understand in Vayetze later it says like this when he wanted to leave. So it's a funny thing. First it says, why did he run away from it? Already they made the deal, and finally, all right, the question is why he stayed there. But then he stayed, and he finally got his money. So then it says, he says, no, all of a sudden he heard that the sons of Lavan were saying that Yaakov took everything that our father had. And he made, and from him he made all this wealth, this great wealth. Okay? And then it says, Yaakov said that I see your father's face, he's not friendly to me anymore. So he ran away. Why did he have to run away? And also, why did he have to run away? Okay, that's number one. And it says like this. And then also says, so God gave him a command to leave. So then when he speaks to his wives, to Rachel and Leah, if he wanted to leave because God told him to leave, he should have just said, I got a divorce. God told me to leave, I have to leave. Nope. He went through the whole story. You see, Atani Adatan, I know you know that I worked for your father with all my strength, and he switched my wages many times, and God protected me. And then he says, "Mkoyom my nekudim yischarecha." If we made up that I'm going to get the nekudim, apparently this Sukkim don't give you the details, but there were many changes that he made. If they said nekudim, then the tzon had nekudim, then he'd say akudim. If it was akudim, then he'd say nekudim. So apparently he always worked it out that. He had a trouble remembering exactly what the term was when the time came for him to take his wages.
Selective amnesia.
Yeah, right. Selective kind of amnesia. So so then he ran away. Why did he run away? It's a funny thing. He ran away. You don't expect this because it seems you'd think that they made up already, got his wages. Okay, so now they're jealous of him. They're angry. They're fine. I mean, if he wants to leave, he can leave. But he ran away. It wasn't just that he
Wasn't
Yeah, that it seems like he didn't just say goodbye. He ran away.
Well, they were out sharing the
sheep. He ran away, and he absconded. In other words, he absconded. He didn't know where he was. He said, why didn't he just say, I'm leaving now, and that's it? Okay. And you see also that Lovin came running after him, he wanted to kill him. Lovin wanted to kill him. And it sounds like, oh, what is this? Unjustified. All of a sudden, the man first, he's friendly. What kind of a personality is this? He's friendly, wants to give him wages, now wants to kill him. What kind of an individual is this? All right? And not only that, he says like this. He complains. He says, V'yam Lovin Yaakov, this is Laman Aleph Chavav. Mel Asisa, what do you do? Vatignav es Lavova es Lavovi, Vatanaig es Benosai Keshvui es Chora. Lamanach Beisel of Roch, why did you hide him away? Velo he got it to leave. Shalecho besimcho v'shir mesof v'china, I would have made a whole party.
Going away party.
Going away party I would have made for you. What are you just doing? A crazy liar. I mean, what kind of a person is he? What kind of a phenomenon is this? He says, and you didn't allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. This was very foolish of you to do this.
Well, after you tried it the first time. Right?
Then there's another. Then there's. What?
After he kissed him the first time, he didn't want to.
But it seems like he's a friendly kind of a person. Now, then it says like this. Then it says, also, there's another strange thing here. Another strange thing is with the truffle. What exactly
said,
is this truffle?
God told me I can't say good or bad to you.
Yeah. Lovin said.
Right. Yeah. Well, isn't that, that's part of the thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he said, you know, you didn't let me give you a party, and you didn't let me kiss my kids, and God told me that I can't.
Yeah, I would really kill you, but God told me not to.
Yeah. That was strange. He kill him because he didn't have a chance to say goodbye.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, funny kind of thing. Yeah.
Well,
okay. Now, also, what does it mean when it says, also, an interesting thing is the truffle. It says, Rachel stole the truffle. What is the story of stealing the truffle? It's also a funny thing. All of a sudden,
out of nowhere,
she stole the truffle, and he came running after this truffle, and he said, Loma ganaftas alohoi, why did you steal my gods? Okay? And then, So why did she really steal the truffle? So a lot of different pshatim, but Rashi's pshat is the pshat of Chazal. And Rashi says that she stole them for a reason. Why? Because she wanted to improve Lavan. She wanted to take him away from Avodah Zarah. That's what Rashi says. Yeah, where's Rashi at? You heard it? Yud Tet? Yeah. Vatigno, that's right. Yud Tes. Chof Tes Yud Tes. Says, Vatigno Vrochel as a truffle. So Rashi says, Lahafrish es oviho me avodas kochov nischavna. That she wanted to take him away from Avodah Zarah, from the influence of Avodah Zarah.
Why didn't you take him earlier?
Yeah. Right, that's the question.
She waited till she
She's
left.
She's there for 20 years. She couldn't steal these truffles and take them away from Avodah Zarah. All of a sudden, now's the time to steal the truffles.
So
funny thing.
Didn't get others. How is this going?
Didn't get other ones. Yeah. Excuse me? I don't know. That's the question. Why shouldn't tell Yaakov? She didn't know. Apparently she thought it wouldn't go along with the idea, whatever. I don't know what it was. That was the purpose in doing it. So what's the chance? Yes. That's good. Yeah, but the thing is, that's good. What you're saying is a very good idea, but I'd like to elaborate a little more on that. Yeah. You see, I think the key comes from the. You see, we tend to think in a very infantile way about a Russian. We think a Russian is an evil person, and as soon as you meet him, you're going to meet a person that is. You'll recognize right away that he's an evil person. So that's not really a Russian. That's a stama behema, not a Russian. A Russian really is not an individual who is just a bestial type of person. But a Russia is a Rishis in the human character is a subtle kind of phenomenon, a very subtle kind of phenomenon. I think the key is really in the Chazal in Vayetze that mentions when he ran out to greet Yaakov. So it says, the pasuk again, the Chavtes Gimel. Vayichushmo lovin Hashem Yaakov ben Achoso vayoratz lefraso vayechabek lo vayinashek lo. He ran towards him, and he embraced him and he kissed him. So Chazal say he embraced him was to check his pockets, and he kissed him was to check his mouth to see if he has any diamonds. See, I don't think that the Chazal will mean it literally. I don't take the Chazal to mean literally. The Chazal are saying something, they're teaching us a very important idea, but not in a literal sense. Eina mikra yotzen midei pshuta. I mean, the man ran and he embraced him, and when he said, ach atzmi of the sariato, you're my flesh and blood, I mean, he was really telling the truth. See, Lavan wasn't a person who was devoid of emotions. He was a warm person. He really had warm emotions. But he was a normal person, and he had feelings for his family, you see. But what Chazal are telling us is one thing, that there was an underlying current that really fueled these feelings. All the feelings were there, but they were fueled subtly by his greed. See, Lavan is really, the parsha of Lavan is really a study in greed. That's the parsha, it's Lavan Aram. You see. Now, he was a greedy person. There's no question about it. But it doesn't mean that that's all he was. No human being could live like that. What kind of a life would he have? I mean, just greed for the sake of greed, and that's it? What, he had mass money, he has no family, no friends, no nothing? I mean, what kind of a human being is this? So he wasn't an abnormal person. He was a person that had feelings. But what Chazal is saying is that the feelings of these friends, there was a friendly strain in Lavan Arami. You see, and actually that's why he was able to be such a deceitful person. He was a con man. Why, a con man is not a person that doesn't have friendly feelings, because otherwise he'd have to be the greatest actor in the world, you see? And then a con man isn't necessarily a good actor. What it means is a person who cons another individual, a confidence man, is a person that has all these emotions. But what he does is they are fueled by an underlying greed. But the emotions are there. As a matter of fact, it's even quite possible to say that at the moment that the person is involved in the act of fooling the other individual, he really believes his emotions. He really believes his emotions. He really feels that he's friendly. You see?
Everybody knows that he hated him, but at that moment he kissed him.
Right. So a person who is a greedy individual, it doesn't mean he's devoid of friendly emotions. On the contrary, he has very friendly emotions. But, and at the moment, he may even believe his emotions. He really feels the friendliness towards this individual. At that time, if he tells this other individual that he's going to help him out, he's going to make him successful, and he's going to be his benefactor, he means it at the moment. The only problem is that in an unconscious way, in a subconscious way, you see, it's fueled by the greed. The greed is ever present. And what happens is the moment he turns away from this person, and that situation, the interaction between the two individuals ceases, he immediately goes back to the other trend. He's a person that has dual trends, you see, but he's not just an animal, you see. So therefore, Lavan Arami was an individual who had friendly feelings. He had friendly feelings. The only thing is it was fueled by greed. And when he met Yaakov, he really wanted to help him. At the moment, he was sincere. The only reason Chazal mentioned these things, that he was searching for the money, what it means is that there was an underlying source of motivation, which was basically greed. And therefore, that's why it says that he checked his mouth. What Chazal means to tell us is they're trying to describe the fact that these friendly feelings are fueled underneath. There is another trend that's operating simultaneously. And in other words, he's friendly, but he's thinking also what he's going to gain out of the situation. You see? What he's going to gain out of the situation. And at the moment, he might not even be acting at that, I say. My name is Michael. But the moment he withdraws from the other personality, then he goes back to his own selfish motivation. You see? That's the kind of person he was. Now, really, what happened was like this. That love on Arami, why did Yaakov stay with him? The reason why Yaakov stayed with him is precisely for that reason. Because since Yaakov saw that he does have this friendly aspect, friendly trend to his personality, so Yaakov felt that sooner or later, if I use my cunning, I'll be able to pin him down, and he will not be able to come face to face with a realization that he is not a friendly, that he really doesn't have any affectionate trend to his nature, but that he's a total Russia. He couldn't come face to face with that fact. So Yaakov kept on trying to force him, to box him into that situation. That's why he says, Baruch HaBitchaktano. He tried to work out everything in advance, because he knew that if he really works it out, since he's a person that doesn't look at himself like an animal, on the contrary, he considers himself to be a fine human being. So if I could get him into a situation where the only way that he'll be able to deny me what I deserve would be by admitting that he's an absolute Russia, he wouldn't do it. And he'll have to give me what I deserve. You see. But he was never able to do it. See, because he was always bringing in another factor later. You see, like for instance, he said, right? But then when the time came, so he said, look, I'll tell you, you know, you're right. But the point is, there's a, I just can't, it's impossible to do this in this situation. I mean, I didn't consider it at the time, but it's a political problem. This is not the way things are done in this area. You're right, at the time I agreed, but do you realize if I do this, it'll devastate me in front of the entire community. You'll leave me crazy. So we can't, we just have no choice, we can't do this. You see? He didn't get out of it by saying, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Then he'd have to face the fact that he doesn't have any friendly trend in his nature. You see? But he escaped by, on the contrary, by, look, I'm a civilized person, we live in a society, in a community, we have to respect their way of living, and we just can't do this. So that's why Yaakov kept on going. Because he said, yeah, what are you going to say? I mean, the man is not going to admit, he's never going to, if you can get him in a situation where he has no way out, he's never going to say, I'm just not going to give you what you deserve. That would be a waste of time to spend time with such an individual. So it's true. So he really works within the framework of a socially ethical, so to speak, human being. You see, so there was always the friendly trend that Yaakov was counting on to be able to get what he deserves. The only thing was that he was never able to tack him down. And the only way he was able to get him was through the Ashgacha with the sheep. Without that, he wouldn't have been able to take him down. He would have escaped again with some other kind of thing. You see? That's really the story of the that's really the personality of love.
Yaakov was basically wrong, in other words.
Excuse me?
So Yaakov was wrong in that judgment.
Yaakov was wrong. Yaakov, as cunning as he was, he wasn't able to tack him down. There was always a way that he could escape and appear and never face the fact. Never have to face the fact that he's really a greedy person. See, a greedy person that admits that he's greedy, he can't deal with. Because there's no way. He's just going to say, sorry, and I'm not going to give you anything. But he was a greedy person that would never accept his own greed. He was really not, I would say it's very possible to say he wasn't fully a conscious individual. You see? So you'll tell me, so what kind of a Russia is he? The answer is, in Yadis, a Russia isn't necessarily a conscious individual. See? As a matter of fact, the worst Russia could be the person that is a semi-conscious kind of an individual. A person that doesn't really understand his nature and is able to always escape by rationalizations, rationalizing his actions. That is a Russia. An openly wicked person is a different... It means he's like a Machiavellian type of person. See, a Machiavellian type of person means a person that is consciously working out a system where he is a greedy individual or whatever his aims are, he works them out on a conscious level. That's a different kind of an individual. As a matter of fact, such an individual.
Now starts Parsh ideas on Parshas Yisroel.
That Yisroel heard the Ness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he came with Tzipora and Moshe Rabbeinu's two children. All right? Geshem and Eliezer. Now, after it says that Vayichad, the Pasuk says, Vayichad Yisrael, Al Kolatova, Asher Osa, Hashem Li Yisrael, Asher Yisrael Yam Yisrael. So, one pshat is, plain pshat is that he was happy. Medrash says that he got goosebumps. He became from the agitated. Why it bothered him? Because he's identified with the Mitzrayim. So Leslie Young asked me a question. He says, "But that's the whole idea of Gary, supposed to identify with the Jews, not with the other nations." But the Chazal learned halacha out of this. They says, "Hainam Reinshi." That a Gioras up to 10 generations, you're not supposed to embarrass the nation that they came from, their people, Goyim. Not supposed to embarrass a say anything derogatory against the guy. But it's a good question he asked. But the point is, the whole definition is, as a matter of fact, the essential in Gioras is that the identification with the Jewish people, and they throw the lot on the Jewish people, they break the identification with the other nations. So why should it seem like a chasaron in Yisrael? So here you see an interesting thing, a psychological thing. You see that there are two levels on, upon which a person operates. One is the conscious level, and the other is the unconscious level. On a conscious level, a person could break his identification and can throw in his lot with the Jews, and he identifies with the Jewish people. But unconsciously, he can't do it. There are unconscious trends in the human mind that are incapable, even a person like Yisrael, you see, incapable of being overcome. And but the point over here is that you see clearly from the Torah's position that there are certain trends in the human mind that just can't be uprooted, and they're unconscious, they remain unconscious. But you see an interesting thing. You see that with regard to chesed, that chesed is in relationship to a person's unconscious as well. Chesed isn't just in relationship to a person's conscious. Chesed means that you have to be aware of a person's unconscious trends also. That's why losonu ishus amiso means you're not supposed to, a person's not supposed to irritate another individual. Bother him, disturb him, say things that bother him. Losonu ishus amiso, lavna deraisa. Say something to irritate somebody. That means you not only have to be careful in terms of his conscious personality, but in terms of his unconscious as well. See, that's Allah. Separate point. It says an interesting thing. It says that that Yisro came with Tzipporah and with Gershom Eliezer to ask to see Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says over here that it says Vayomer al Moshe. So Vayomer al Moshe means, of course, like Rashi, through a shliach. Because that was the whole thing. He wanted to meet with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yom Moshe, anicho sencho Yisro bo elecho v'ishtecho shnevo neo ima. So Rashi says like this, Mechilta, enein ata yotze begini, if you don't want to come out because of me, I'm not worthy enough, say begin ishtecho. Go ishtecho, go come out because of your wife. V'enein ata yotze begin ishtecho, say begin shnevo neo. Okay? So, it's an interesting, apparently it wasn't an easy matter to get Moshe Rabbeinu to to have a meeting with Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, it wasn't an easy matter. Moshe Rabbeinu is involved in important things. It means to take up his time, means to take him away from Chochmas HaLakus. So, big question whether, you know, whether he should to get him to meet with him, take away his time. So, he said, so first he said because of himself, then he said because of his wife and because of his children. But you see that he didn't come out because of his wife and his children. It's against the American philosophy. It says, Vayetze Moshe likras chosna. Vayishtachu vayishaklo vayishlush l'reel l'shon v'evo o'ala. So he didn't come out because of his wife and his kids. He only came out because of Yisra. Why? Because the next pasuk, Vayasaper Moshe Lachosno Eis Kol Asher Asa Hashem Lafaro LeMitzrayim. So Rashi says, Vayasaper Moshe Lachosno. So Rashi says, Vayasaper Moshe Lachosno is so Rashi says, Limshoches Libo LeKarva LaTorah. Limshoches Libo LeKarva LaTorah. So he started off. Telling him the Sipur HaMaisa was an interesting thing. According to Rashi, here it's that much lachos neis kol hashos Hashem lefar al Mitzrayim alodos Yisrael eis kol atlo Hashem mitzosam baderech etzalim Hashem. Speaking about nisei Hashem, but Rashi says limshoch es libo lekorva l'Torah. What do you have to say limshoch es libo lekorva l'Torah? Tell him about the Sipur by Yitzis Mitzrayim. That itself, tremendous thing. I mean, the whole nisei Hashem is baruch. Tremendous thing. Why do you have to say the Karvel Torah? So apparently that just to talk about the Nisim wasn't really his objective. You see, it was Limshoch HaSlibo. Then he spoke about the Nisim because of the Nisim have a certain impact. But the main thing was the Karvel Torah. Was really to engage him in a conversation of Torah. Of Chachmas HaTorah. That was his real objective. Nisim very nice. Most important. I mean, a lot of philosophical points also. But basically, all the talk about the Nisim is really only a means. What is the objective? The objective really was to involve him in Talmud Torah. And you see that, later it says, Vayikach Yisrael Chosein Moshe. Yeah. It says that Vayikach Yisro Chosei Moshe Ola Zvachem Lelokim. So they brought Kabanos Vayavo Aaron V'chol Ziknei Yisrael Lechol Lechem Chosei Moshe Lifnei Olokim. They all came to eat together with to join in the Suda. So Rashi says that Lifnei Olokim. It says Lechol Lechem Chosei Moshe Lifnei Olokim. Yeah. So it says, interesting Rashi before, Vayavo Aaron. So Rashi says, Moshe Hechan Halach, where did Moshe go? It says, Valo hu she yatzalik raso, v'gorem lo as kolakovet, al she omid mishamish lefneim. Moshe Rabbeinu was mishamish in front of the Yisrael. He himself was serving them. And the Pasuk says, Vayavo Aaron, v'chol ziknei Yisrael, lecho lechem imchosein Moshe, lifneho lekim, before God. What does it mean, before God? So the Gemara says, Chazal said, "Mikan shehanena mesuda shetalmidei chacham mesubim bo, kilu nena mizev hashchina." A person that joins in a meal that talmidei chachamim are eating is as if he's nena mizev hashchina, as if he's actually partaking of the enjoyment of the shchina. So you see from this that what was really the whole thing was really a suda of Torah, of whether we're discussing Torah. That was all. That was all concept. But it's an interesting thing. See, why do you have to say? It says Mikan shehanena mesuda shel talmidei chachomim mesubim bo kilu nena mizev hashchina. Why don't you say kol shomea al divrei chachomim shomea Torah min chachomim is kilu nena mizev hashchina? What does it mean shehanena mesuda shel talmidei chachomim mesubim bo? Why do you have to be nena from the Suda? An interesting idea. I mean, you should say, Kol ha-yoshev b'mokom sheyesh chabura shel tamidei chachomim ki'ilu hu nena mizev hashchina. No, it's like it says, she'hanena mesuda she'tamidei chachomim mesubim bo ki'ilu nena mizev hashchina. It means you partake of the Suda. What is partake of the Suda? Partake of the Suda is a physical activity. So who cares if you partake of the Suda or not? The important thing is to hear the Divrei Torah. It's an interesting thing. From the expression you see that they're after something else, not just the idea of being in a situation where Talmidei Chacham are discussing Torah. But actually partaking of the Suda itself means eating. So what do you have to eat for? I mean, you just listen to the Torah and be present at the Chabura. You see. So what is the concept? It's an interesting idea. The idea is in Yadus, that apparently there's a benefit to being nana from the Suda. And you see, we have that concept. You have the idea of being nana from the Suda's mitzvah. What it means is like this. that really the perfection of man is reflected in his partaking, insofar as he is a human being, of everything that God gives him. It means that a person is perfected by recognition of the role, the proper role of the physical in life. In other words, it's not simply a person to remove himself from the physical. That's not perfection. That's not perfection. Perfection is where he recognizes the role of the physical and makes sure that it plays, it has its proper place. So really, food and drink is given to man for a purpose, to enjoy, to be nana. But that enjoyment is only a basis for upon which the enjoyment of chachma is to be based. You see, is to exist. So therefore, a person who avoids a suda and just enjoys the ideas is wrong, because it means that he can't place the physical enjoyments in their proper realm. He's not yet perfected. You see, he's not yet perfected. A person that's totally perfected enjoys the proper role of everything that God created for him and that he is to partake of as a human being. So, nene mesuda shetalmide chacham mesubim ba, the nene from the suda alone is a kiyum. See, the nene from the hanoa that he has from the suda itself is the kiyum, because then he sees the true picture of human life. What human life should really be in its perfected way, and he appreciates the role of hanoa gufni. Hanoa sa guf is not supposed to be denied. Hanoa sa guf is supposed to, a person should experience it in its proper role. And that's why if he's nena mesuda shetalmidacham mesubim bo, that's a tremendous level. It's a higher level than the person who avoids hanoas. Perhaps certain people should avoid hanoas at certain times. Like the Rambam mentions, you should go to the other extreme. A person is a big bal taiva, so you should avoid it. You should try to avoid it to overcome the taiva. But that's not the perfect state. The perfect state is, or on the contrary, he enjoys the physical, and the physical plays its role insofar as supporting the intellectual. In other words, he perceives his perfection as a human being, and as a human being, he requires physical sustenance. So the hanoah, the very enjoyment of the suda itself, is a kiyum in the kedusha of the gavra. That's the philosophy of Yadis. The implication of nena is the enjoyment itself is the benefit. The enjoyment of the suda is the benefit, because then he perceives what the true purpose, the true role of physical enjoyments are. That they serve as a basis to place a person in a frame of mind where he's best capable of thinking and enjoying Chachmas Hashem. You see? And for that, a person needs to have, he has to have food, he has to have drink, he has to have things that place him in that frame of mind. That's the whole idea, really, of Onik Shabbos. Onik Shabbos. You see, Onik Shabbos is all like that. You have to have Onik Shabbos. Shabbos is the holiest day of the year. It has the most kedusha of any other day, and there's a chiyav of onik Shabbos, chiyav onik. So you see that onik is a in yadas a person worships God, serves God through his physical, physically partaking of food and drink. You see also the Seder, you see Yadis all in general. That's the philosophy. That's the philosophy. Contradistinction to other philosophies that are ascetic. That are ascetic. Asceticism is merely an attempt to avoid the attraction of the physical. But that's not what Yadis really wants to do. Yadis, on the contrary, a person should be on a level where he can enjoy the physical in its proper way. Shouldn't be any conflict. Shouldn't be any conflict. It's a different philosophy.
Was it an act of chesed?
Yeah.
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 He At certain points, he knew that consciously that he was ripping off Yaakov. When he didn't give his daughter, he didn't think, he didn't believe that Eliezer can come in. He knew that he was meta. And when he changed the wages 100 times, he knew what those times.
No, not really. See, not. I would say that's why I say the pasuk says akudim and nikudim. Why? Because akudim and nikudim is a very two words that are very closely phonetically they're related. So he'd make up with him akudim, and a few months later, just a second, did we say akudim? We say nikudim. I don't remember exactly what it was. See, it was always an escape. He wasn't. I don't believe that he consciously. I don't believe that necessarily he consciously would. Would admit that he's just an open liar.
He would admit it.
No, he wouldn't admit it. It was an unconscious process, you see? And he was always able to escape and to fool himself into thinking that, no, we didn't. This is his idea of what the fairness was. And he was able to deceive himself, even, you see? It wasn't open deceit. If you look at the psukim, there's no open deceit. Never did he say, I'm not going to pay you. It would be crazy for a man to stay and work for 20 years and somebody's not going to give you your wages. There was a friendly trend, and he was basically not fully conscious himself of his own nature. And he himself would talk himself into the fact that he really is fair, and that these things, these little switches took place in his mind, where he was able to justify and to rationalize away the greed that he had. You see? That was the personality of love. I think it's clear from the psukim that he wasn't an outrightly deceitful person. Is it? Yes.
One of the
understand that his outright deceit is understanding the childish level. If you look at the psukim, you see he always had a way out. He always had a rationalization. A person who was a great rationalizer. Yeah.
In the Gada we say Rami Avedavi,
yeah.
One interpretation of which that he tried to destroy.
Destroy? Yeah. There's no question about it.
Isn't that conscious?
Excuse me?
Isn't that a conscious process?
Yeah, okay, we'll soon see about that. We'll soon see about that. Okay. Now.
Right after the...
Yeah. The question is, of course, you'll ask me, but he came to destroy Yaakov Avinu. He came to destroy. That's true. But you see, you take a look. When he came to destroy Yaakov, also he had a reason. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy you. He's going to destroy his nephew, his own family. No. He said like this. As a matter of fact, he complained. He said, "Vayom alav Yaakov me'asisa v'tignoves levavi." What does it mean, "tignoves levavi"? "Tignoves levavi" means you stole my heart. It means you caused me to have these horrible emotions. You see, but tonight gets benosai kishvuya schora lo manach beisa levroch v'tignovosi. He said, as a matter of fact, when Lavan came after Yaakov, he wanted to kill him. Why did he want to kill him? Because He, what happened was like this. See, I told you that he had a friendly trend in his nature. There was a friendly trend there. But when Yaakov ran away, and when Yaakov absconded, he took that as an act of aggression against him. You see? Now, the moment Lavan took Yaakov to be aggressive against him, that was the end of the friendly trend. You see? That was the matir that took away all the friendliness. You see. Now, once the friendliness was gone, then he justified the fact that he can go and destroy him. That's what he said. Because in other words, what he said to Yaakov was, why did you act aggressively towards me? And actually, when he was under, there's two stages over there. First, he was under the influence of the aggression. Because when he felt that Yaakov was aggressive towards him and just ran away with all his money, so then it became a totally aggressive action that he stole everything from them. So then he was overpowered, overcome, and he wanted to go and destroy him. But what happened? It was a Marian of war. He had Vayovo, not Marian, I shouldn't say Marian of war, because the loving around was a Russian, wasn't deserving of the war. It was an accidental type of Marian of war. It means God came to him in the Chalom. Once God came to him in the Chalom, that got him out of his crazy, the crazy way that he distorted the reality, and it stopped him. It stopped him from actually aggressively destroying Yaakov. But then when he came to Yaakov, that's why he said, it's a strange thing to say to a person. It says, "Vatignoves levavi, lo manach beisa levroch vatignovosi." What do you mean vatignovosi? You see? But what happened was after the Chalom, he recognized that he saw reality in a distorted way. At the time, he was overpowered by anger. and he really wanted to destroy Yaakov. But once God came to him and said, oh, Yisham Avacha, don't touch him. So then he thought over the situation, and he saw that he really was under the influence of a crazy emotion. He misread the situation. It wasn't really so aggressive. He deserved what he took. It wasn't so bad. He has no right to go kill him under these circumstances. But then he complained to him. He says, but you gave me this emotion. Vatignoves levovi. You see, he still tried to justify himself. It's true, I saw it in a distorted way, but who caused me to see it in a distorted way? You did. Why did you do this to me? You see? So you see from that interaction, from those statements themselves, you see again the personality of Lavan Arami. It wasn't just an outright evil person. As a matter of fact, even if he was overcome with anger and he wanted to kill him, but then when God stopped him, so then he realized he made a mistake, but then he blamed Yaakov, why did you cause me to make this mistake? Why did you cause me to put me in such an emotional state that I misread the situation? Yeah. I might have made a mistake, but you caused me to make that mistake. You see? That was his argument. This is a very sophisticated argument. It's not just you're not just talking about a person who just wants to, just animalistic. You see? Now, it says like, and as a matter of fact, he says, and he says, V'loi gada talidin, tell me v'ashalecho b'simcho v'shirim b'sof u'v'chinor. Whole orchestra there. You see? Velona Tashtana Lunashek Levonai Velivnoso. Ata Skalta so. You did a foolish thing. You see? What was he saying? He was saying, I have friendly feelings. And I'm a human being who has friendly feelings, an affectionate person, and he sensed what happened to him in a certain way. That's why he said, what you did was you took away all the affectionate feelings that I have, and therefore you caused the other side of my personality, the anger, to come out, and therefore I almost destroyed you. He says, Yesh le'el yodi lasa simachom ro, ve'lakei avicha nemesh amar le'elam ha'yishon lech medam yagav tovar ro. You see? He says, God stopped me. If it wasn't for, why did he mention that to Yaakov? That's what he said. He said, really, you caused me to distort reality, and you got the other side of my personality, where I was crazy and I wanted to destroy you. If it wasn't for God, then I would have done this. And he's saying, really, he would have been sorry that if he would have done that. But he blamed Yaakov for acting in a way that brought out the other side of his personality. It's an interesting conversation. Now, he says like this. Just a sec. So he says like this. Now, why did Yaakov really do that? Question, why did Yaakov do that? See? But the answer is very simple. The answer is the same as the answer that Yaakov gave, and it's the answer that you see from the Pesukim before. Because it says like this, Vayishma es divrei v'nei lovan lemar, lokach Yaakov es kol asher lovino. Umei asher lovino, so es kol asher lovino. Now, if you take a look, you see, what happened is, a greedy person is a person who whatever somebody else has disturbs him, because that's the nature of greed. The greed is infinite. Greed is infinite. Okay? Now, Yaakov Avinu knew this about Lavan. He knew he was a greedy person. As a matter of fact, you see that from the Pesukim before. When he asked him, he said like this. He says, He says, I want to go. He says, Tanos, Nosha, Vesilodai, Shavadati Oschoben, Velecho, Kiato Yadata, Savarasir, Shavaratichas, Lamed, Chavov, Chavzayan. So he says, Vayamalov, Lovan. Lovan said, Lovan was very friendly again. You see, when he asked him for his wages, he says, Nomatasichem, Benecho. I only found favor in your eyes. Very friendly person. Nichashti, Vayvacheni, Hashem, Begalalecho. He says, I know that God blessed me because of you. So Vayomer says, just tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. So what did Yaakov answer him? He could have said, give me this, that's it. No, he knew that wouldn't work. Because he knew if he take anything from him, the emotion of greed is going to start working, and then he's going to be in trouble. So what did he do? He said like this. He says, first he gave a little introduction. He says, you know how much I worked for you when I increased your properties, and now you have you're worth so much, and Varsham Sala Ragli, and Vata Mosa Esegamanoch Leves. So he says, Vayomer says, Mo Etenloch, what should I give you? Vayomer Yaakov, Lo Sitan Lima Umo, don't give me anything. What do you mean, Lo Sitan Lima Umo? That sounds funny. Don't give me anything. And Tasle Adovar Zashuva Eretzoncha Eshma. What do you mean? He meant like, see, he was trying to forewarn this. He knew that a greedy person can't give anything. It's an impossibility. And as much as he's friendly now, he feels he wants to, But the fact remains that at the time when he's going to have to make that transition, when he's going to have to give him something, it's going to drive him crazy, and he's going to start up again with his crazy thing. So what did he do? That's what he says, Lo siten li ma'uma, I don't want anything. He says, this is what I want you to do. Evo b'chaltzon chayom, go through the sheep, and take away the kolsen nako the talu, v'chaltzon, take those away. He says, v'hoya schari. Now, what did he mean? He meant like this. He says, the ones, right now, everything you have is yours. But the sheep are going to give birth in the future, and what I want is the future ones that are the striped ones and the dotted ones, speckled ones. So why did he work it out that way? Very simply, because that's not something that he had. It wasn't in his possession at the time. It was something, a dovish labol olam, was something in the future. You see? So I'm not going to take away anything from you, but the sheep are going to give birth in the future. I'll just take the spider ones. So you don't lose anything. You have everything you have now is yours. But there's going to be, they're going to give birth. In other words, what he's talking about, what does it mean? Vlados, the Vlados. Vlados really in halacha. What is Vlados? Vlados are really prophets. Okay? So he's saying, what you have now, that's yours. But there are going to be prophets that are going to come from what you have. All I want is certain parts of the prophets that are going to come out of that which you have, which I caused you to have, and which is yours. You see? So he felt that in this way he will be going in the least manner against his emotion of grief. You see? That's how it was worked out. Okay? And apparently it worked. Apparently it worked. Because you see, he did give it to him. He did give it to him. So Yaakov, of course, the way they worked out, with the nace, with the how they became speckled, that was a nace min Hashemayim. I mean, all Chazal said it was some kind of a nace. We don't understand what kind of nace it was, but it was a nace. Because the pasuk says, "Vayechmu etzol nevamaklos," and it says, "What is it?" It says when they came to drink. So Rashi says that when they shetavon etzol lishtos lenocha chatzon vayechamna bevoan lishtos. So Rashi says it was a different type of conception that came through the drinking of the waters, or some kind of a nace. Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, I remember one time reading a biologist, a Nobel Prize winner, that said that Yaakov made a mistake, and Yaakov thought that if a person or an animal looks at a pregnant woman, for instance, he used to believe they look at something during the pregnancy, so they're going to give birth to that. Like they see, they look, see the mouse, so the child will have a mouse mark on him, these type of myths. But the so they wanted to say that the that's what the psukim mean. It can't be what the psukim mean. First of all, if that was really the prevalent belief, so Lovin would know the same thing. He'd know the same idea.
He'd
know about that. But the psukim say it was derech nes. Because the Chazal say the idea was prevalent in the time of Chazal, but they would use it. But you see, they say the psukim don't say it. It says Asher Tavon Hatzon Lishtos Nochatzon Vayecham Na Bavon Lishtos. It was some kind of a nes that they somehow or other. What how the nace worked, we don't know. But it was some kind of nace. But it wasn't. But the point is that with that, he had more sheep that were speckled, and really his idea worked.
Right.
Because you see, that he gave it to him. He gave it to him. He finally got him to the point where it would be impossible for him not to pay him. Okay? So really, Yaakov's Chachma prevailed. But if it wasn't for the Ashgacha, he really wouldn't have been able to come out with anything near what he was what he deserved. He never got, but I mean, what it was near what he what would have been necessary for him.
You see? He said Ashgacha is not Nisim, though.
Yeah, it's a good question. I thought that question too. That's a good question. Yeah, you see, Ashgacha wasn't Nisim. It's a good question. Okay. But at any rate. What happened later? It says Vayishmas divrei bnei lovam leimor lokach Yaakov es kol asher lovinu. One second, what happened over here? What happened was that you see, a person, there's a difference between a person doing something at the time and then in retrospect. A person who has certain midos, certain characteristics, over a period of time, he starts changing reality. The reality gets very weak, and he looks back and he starts revising it. So Yaakov was very smart in that he knew that at this point he's going to have to give me my wages. See? But what happens later, that's a different story. Every day he sees Yaakov with a tremendous amount of material wealth that he has. And of course, I mean, he's a greedy person, and it's going to start bothering him. So that's what happened. Finally, the emotion started to resurrect itself. And he started to revise the history and his mind. And again, he thought he was his greed got the best of him, and he thought he was cheating. Then it's like this. He saw the face of Lavan, he's not his friend anymore. That's why, then it says, that's when he got the nevuah. Why? Very simply. Because we said all along that Yaakov only banked on one thing in Lavan. What was it? The friendly trend of his nature. You see? But then he saw that this friendly trend is gone. You see? In other words, he saw that he revised the history already, so that he projected, as a matter of fact, that the Yaakov is greedy. Yaakov took away all the wealth. So Yaakov is the thief. Once, and then he's justifying it, because he's not friendly anymore, so what happens is now there's nothing to work with, now he's a dangerous person. And so now he's a dangerous individual. And then he planned to leave. He planned to leave because he knew if he didn't at that point with such an individual, once the friendliness is gone, you're in danger. You're in serious trouble. Because then all the aggression and all the greed is going to come out. So that's why he had to leave. But the Nevuah came and told him precisely where to go. And that's why when Yaakov told Rachel and Leah, he didn't say, I'm leaving because of Nevuah. He said, he mentioned Nevuah also. But it was a rational reason why he left. He said, and the whole thing. And then he goes through that it was all Ashgacha. This was all Ashgacha, that I was able to do it only because of Ashgacha. He explained to them the whole phenomena. And now he says, we have to leave. We must leave at this moment because of the danger. And they said, we have nothing left with our father. You see? We have nothing left with him. But at that point, Rachel stole the truffle. Why? The reason is as follows. That all along, you see, his daughters, these were his daughters, they had good feelings for him. It was their father. So they knew that he was in Avodah Zarah. And why was he in Avodah Zarah? I want to mention that. Why was he in Avodah Zarah? This is a rational person. Very rational when it came to exercising his transactions. But he was... why was he in Oved Avodah Zarah, you see? The reason is because a person whose framework is irrational has to be in Oved Avodah Zarah. Must be. See? It has to be. See, in other words, it's only rational within the framework. But the framework itself isn't rational, because the framework is based upon greed and materialism. Okay? Now, how could he secure, a person as intelligent knows, that there's always a chance that he's going to lose his material situation? He could have wars, there's no end to the possibilities. Most people just are not rational enough, so they don't think about these possibilities. But a person who is indeed rational knows there are many possibilities that can result, and in a few moments he could be worth nothing. I mean, people could have been worth a lot of money different times in this century. Something took place politically, and that was the end of the money. Gone. You see? So he knew that there is no real security in his very basic foundation of what he really values. For that, he had one solution. What's the solution?
Avodah Zarah.
A person whose framework is irrational has to have some kind of security. Only the rational person is not in Avodah Zarah, because the rational person's framework is rational. And therefore, his framework is God. So there's no way he could lose anything. But a person whose framework is materialism has to have some type of security, and that's why Lavan was in Oved Avodah Zarah. He had to have that security.
He satisfied his emotional need, he was irrational.
Yeah, to satisfy... That's what we mentioned before. There's two types of people. The person is rational within a certain framework, like the mafia. But the framework itself is irrational.
Right.
So they have to resort to something to keep... You can't get out of that one. So you have to resort to something in order to save you there. So that's why he was in Oved Avodah Zarah, you see? Now what happened was like this, that Rachel and Leah really loved their father. They had good feelings when they wanted to help him. Now as long as Yaakov was working with his friendly emotions, you see the affectionate trend that he had, so they always had hope that they could win him over to the true ideas. He was an intelligent person. And there always was hope that they could win him over. But once they saw that the friendly side of his nature is gone, now there's nothing to work with anymore. You see? So now they said that's why at that point they simply took away the Avodah Zarah. They stole the Avodah Zarah because there was no other way to... then it had to be done through an aggressive action. Ordinarily, you don't want to do an aggressive action in order to save a person, because that's not the best way to do it. See? If you use aggression, you could pay a big price. See, if you use aggression, you could pay a big price. But then there comes a certain point. See, then a person reaches a certain point where there's nothing, they have no alternative. That's why at that point they stole the children. That's the reason.
Why did he tell them the true reason why they left? Why didn't he give them the Nevuah? Yaakov. Why did he tell Rachel Leah?
No, he mentioned the Nevuah. He mentioned. He said both. Because the Nevuah, he had to say both. Why did Yaakov Avinu have to say both to Rachel and Leah? For a very simple reason. He had abscond. You see, he had to run away in the middle of the night. He couldn't just leave, because then he would have done on the contrary. So they say, let's tell our father, and we'll make a big party, and we'll go on the late party, like he said. But he had to tell them, no, I can't do that. You see? No, he had explained to them what Yaakov explained to Rachel and Leah in those few psukim was the whole analysis of the psyche of Laban. He showed them the whole analysis of his psyche and why now is the point. We must run away now. You can't tell them. And where am I going to go? So Nevuah told me I should go to Eretz Yisrael. You see? So he had to. That's why it wasn't just the Nevuah, my Nevuah, leave. He had there's a certain way that he had to leave. He had to leave without telling them to run away and explain to them why. So he gave them a whole analysis of Laban's personality. Then they said, you're right. And that's why they left. But before they left, Rachel said, now there's nothing left. There's no affectionate trend left. There's no way to work with this man. We'll have to be aggressive and just take away the Avodah Zarah. Maybe this will shake him up. Maybe he'll become so insecure that it'll cause him to realize that he's on the completely in the crazy way, and maybe this will affect the change in him. That's what it means that she her intention was to remove him from the brother's heart.
Really?
Yeah.
How come Yaakov seems surprised that he chased after him?
Surprised?
It's his, right? It's his.
Right. It wasn't that he was surprised. It was he was trying to speak sensibly to Lavan to talk him out of killing him. You see? That's what he. That's why he did. Not because he knew. He knew. That's why he ran away.
Wouldn't it have been better to just destroy the idols instead of stealing?
That's a good question. Question is why didn't that's a good question.
Yeah, he's going to come after you.
Ibn Ezra asked that question. He says he doesn't understand. Yeah. According to the pshat that Chazal say that she stole the truffin, why did she have to carry them with her? Why didn't she bury them somewhere to destroy them along the road? I don't know the answer to that question. But the only thing is that I'm going with the Pshat of Chazal that they say that the purpose was to save him from Avodah Zarah. But the why she did it that man, that's Ibn Ezra asked that question. Cash. It's a very good question. Why did she have to keep it with her under the she kept it and then she put it under the saddle. Why did she have to do that? I mean, why didn't she just destroy them? It's a good question. I don't know exactly. I don't know. We don't know. I mean, maybe she had something in mind. I don't know. Maybe she had something in mind at a later date to show him in some. I don't know exactly what. It's
possible just practically. There was no time, and yeah, with no time,
no time.
It's quicker to break it.
No, you got to start looking for this. You got to start looking.
Well,
for
you have to destroy them.
You have to destroy it well.
You have to destroy them. Yeah.
And you have to leave in a hurry. You don't have time. You got to make the thing and go.
I know. It's a good question. It's a question as to why the why she did that matter. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I think there was cash stuck in there. That's his piggy bank.
He said that was his piggy bank.
He kept his cash in there. What's that a play?
Realized he lost the friendly trend.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Ha'od lanu chelet v'nachal abaveis avinu. When they said that, that means that they understood the analysis that Yaakov made of Laban's personality. They said, we have nothing left. And then it says, Then it says, where's that pasuk? Hello, Nochrios. Right. Yeah. Well, now, where does it say that she stole it? Where does it say she stole the truck? Where's the pasuk? Where's the pasuk? Yutess? Yes. Yeah, Yutess. That's right. Yeah, afterwards. Yeah. Afterwards, she stole the truck. That's what it is.
Yeah. Maybe if she was old, like 21, it would be
it's a funny thing. There are a lot of subtleties in the psukim here. Like I think the Ramban says that when Lavan at first said to Yaakov, "Achi atav avadatani chinam," he says, "You, my brother, going to work for nothing? What do you want? What do you want for wages?" So I believe Ramban says that it sounds like he's trying to help him, but he says, but there's a very subtle thing there. Because he saw he's sitting there chodesh yamim. You know what I mean? So this was a way of telling him that he should get to work.
No,
there's a subtle way of telling him he should get to work.
Been
sitting there for a month. This guy can sit there for a year. This guy sits around and he thinks all day, what's going on here? Says, so, you're going to work for nothing? It was a way to introduce him into a very subtle way of getting him into work. And the Malei Shmuzos, I think the Malei Shmuzos means, the plain shot Malei Shmuzos means something else. See, after 7 years, so he got Leah. And then he celebrated with her. He was celebrating. He's finished working. So he decided he's going to celebrate for the week. Malei Shmuzos means another 7 years, but don't forget this week. This week also you have to
work.
Yes, you have to make it up in the 7 years. You can't count
one
this
week?
As part of the 7 years. Exactly.
Well, why are you so petty?
Petty? No. Because that's the man of greed every day. That's what I want to show you. That the man of greed, a day, an hour, a minute that the other person is gaining from him is intolerable.
Trying to work it around mincha.
Mark added a very good point that the avodah zarah is more than just a matter of security. It also justifies his greed, because in avodah zarah, the person always considers himself to be the center of the universe, and that the whole purpose of avodah zarah is that it justifies the fact that he is superior and he is so important, and that's why the satisfaction of his greed becomes totally justified. You see?
Good point. Mm-hmm. Almost.
There's one question that we didn't answer, and that is, I'm not going to answer this question. The question is that what did Yaakov Avinu have in mind? In other words, if he wouldn't have succeeded without the Hashgacha, so why did he say, this is all I want? So apparently it seems he'd be relying on an ace, and it's Eim Simchan al an ace. Okay, it's a question. Okay, there's one other point I want to make. That later, what did he say in the end, Lavan? So he said that he finally made peace with Yaakov. But it's a funny thing. He says, as a matter of fact, you see he had affectionate feelings, because said him ta'anes benosai, v'ntikach nashma benosai ein yeshimono. You see? So you see he had love for his daughters. There's no question that he had these affectionate trends. In other words, what does he care? He's going away now. What does he care about his daughters? No, he did care about them. But, moreover, it's an interesting statement. When he says, when Lavan finally gave in, he says, "Vayan Lavan Yom Al Yaakov, Abonos Benosai, Abonim Bonai, Vatzon Tzoni, V'chosh Torah Lihu." What does this mean? V'levnosai Moeseh Lo'ilah Yom Olivneim Hashay Yeladu. What does it mean? So, the plain shalik is that since these are my children, so therefore Moeseh Lo'ilah Yom, how can I do harm to my own children? Right? But why? So I understand. It says Abonos Benosai, Abonim Bonai. But what is Vatzon Tzoni? V'chosh Torah Lihu. What does that mean? See?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is that when he finally came to grips with accepting the situation with Yaakov, the man of greed can only come to grips with it when he identifies with the person and it's still his. Otherwise, he could never come to grips with it. You see? So finally, the reason why he had friendly feelings was that he had to consider everything an extension of himself, and that's the only way he could be he can come to peace. Yeah, that's right. You see that he had true affection. Because by Yashkin Lovin Baboka, by Nashik Lovin Lovin Nosa, Varachasem, by Yelach by Yashkin Lovin Mukamo. That was the affectionate side. You got the affectionate side of personality.
That's from Shadav. I think he's really telling him off.
When Yaakov tells him off, what happened was like this: that one God came to Maria, not a real Maria Vor, but the Chalom Alayla. When God came to the Chalom Alayla, So that stopped him. That got him out of his craziness. He reassessed the situation. He recognized that the aggressive side of his nature took off totally. But then he complained to Yaakov about...